This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Lawmakers and policy experts around the country praise North Carolina's pre-kindergarten education, but now the program that sends at-risk four-year-olds to preschool is at the center of a state budget debate. Yesterday, Wake County Superior Court Judge Howard Manning struck down provisions in the state budget that he says will keep out poor children who qualify for the program. Republicans say Manning's ruling is simply a misunderstanding of a badly written piece of legislation. WUNC education reporter Dave DeWitt is here to help sort it out for us. Welcome, Dave.
Hi, Frank.
First of all, tell us what programs we're talking about.
Well, the four-year-old preschool program is called More at Four, and it's a free kindergarten program for at-risk four-year-olds that's housed at child care facilities and in some schools. And it had formerly been run at the Department of Public Instruction. Smart Start is a separate program. Now, they do overlap and they do some of the same functions. It was founded in 1993. It's more of an umbrella organization, deals with at-risk kids, some health issues, some child care kinds of things, and some educational programs. And for a long time, Republicans have been trying to combine the two, thinking that there could be some savings there. They got their wish this year, obviously, when they had the opportunity to write the budget.
And tell us about that. It did more than combine the two. There were budget cuts as well.
Yeah, they cut about 20% from both of the programs. And then they moved More at Four and renamed it. And it's now called the North Carolina Pre-Kindergarten Program. They moved it from the Department of Public Schools to the Department of Health and Human Services. And that's a pretty bureaucratic nightmare. They're going to have to move the whole thing. They're going to have to reassign people. So there's a lot of question as to how much of it is actually going to be cut, how many services will be available, how many services will not be available. Independent researchers have said that the cuts may save as much as $70 million. But they say also that if you look down the line, the state could be out another $600 million because these programs, even the people who are critical of Smart Start and More at Four, say that they are effective programs for what they're designed to do. They do get at-risk kids into school. It helps, you know, a Duke University study that came out this year, you know, looked at third graders and said these programs work. They get kids who are at risk. They get them in the school. They get them performing well at school and, most importantly, liking school more, right, which is so important in elementary school. And, you know, researchers said if you don't have these programs, you're looking at remediation, unemployment, you're looking at all kinds of family issues down the line, and as much as imprisonment, those kinds of things. So there's that old notion that if you get the kids early, you don't have to pay for them late.
So research here locally, as you said, a report from Duke. Around the country, it's considered a model program. People come from all over the country to look at this program. Funding is cut. It's been moved out of education and into a different department. But none of that, strictly speaking, was what Judge Manning ruled on, or even the cuts to those successful programs themselves. What was it that he ruled on?
Well, he ruled his ruling is very obtuse, would be the word I would use. It's probably not a legal term. But you can't look at his ruling and say, oh, this is exactly what he has a problem with, and this is exactly what he wants changed. What he has a problem with is access to these programs. He says, you know, in his ruling, the first line in the ruling part is, states shall not deny eligible at-risk four-year-olds admission to this program. That's pretty clear. Now, for years, there have been more eligible families, more eligible students at the age of four and children than they have had slots for. Mm. So even, you know, when the Democrats were in charge and when we had a little bit more money to throw at it, we did not fully fund the programs for all those that were eligible. So you would seemingly think that Judge Manning wouldn't be particularly happy with that situation either. And he might not have been, but he didn't have to rule on that because nobody brought a suit before him. So what he has a problem with now seems to be this sort of some of the ways in which at least the Republicans are now reading his ruling is saying he has a problem with this sort of 80-20%, how many students are going to be eligible versus how many weren't, how many might have to pay versus how many didn't. But he's really talking about access across the board.
Right. So there's a question about whether or not the legislation caps at 20% those students who would be considered at risk.
Right.
He said if that's the case, or he said that is the case, and that means you're limiting access to underserved students. That violates the Leandro decision. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Right.
Means that underserved kids don't have equal access.
That's right. And the Republicans are simply saying, well, he's just misreading. And they admittedly say it's an unclear, you know, they could see where he might get that impression, but that's not what we're saying. We're saying there's going to be more access than there was. Now, there is also a sliding scale of copay and all those different kinds of things, which we can get to. But really, it's all about how much access kids will have. And if Judge Manning thinks they don't have enough, that's his ruling here, and it could be down the line, too.
And what about the copay? Tell us about that.
The copay, the first thing, Mort 4 is a free program for those students who are deemed eligible. What the Republicans have set up is saying that there will still be a section of those students who are deemed at risk that will not have to pay. But those who can pay or maybe pay a little bit more will pay on a sliding scale. They may pay a little bit. They may pay a lot more than they used to. So for the first time, some families may be asked to pay.
All right. So we've talked about the Republican reaction. They say Judge Manning has simply misunderstood what the legislation was all about. What about the Democrats? How do they react?
Well, Governor Bev Perdue simply said they need to go back to the drawing board. She's obviously fought the Republicans all along on some of those cuts, particularly this one. It should be noted, more at four especially, but these are for a long time, governors have been the strongest education voice in this state, starting with, all the way back, before Jim Hunt, all the way
Terry Sanford,
you know, Jim Hunt, Mike Easley, and now Bev Perdue. They have been arguing vehemently, and the Democrats have throughout this budget process, that there are too many cuts to education, specifically these two, Mort 4 and Smart Start. So clearly they want to go back to the drawing board. Let's redo the whole thing and let's put money back in into these programs. The Republicans say, no, wait, it's just not even an accounting error, just a misreading of this legislation. We'll clean up the language. We'll make it clear to Judge Manning this is not what he thinks it is, and we'll move on.
All right. And so there may be, at the very least, it seems like the language will be rewritten to make clear whether it's 20% who will be eligible or 80%, as the Republicans say it should read.
Right.
So we'll be a little bit more clear about that. But then the question will remain, does the new formula still keep out too many students who are eligible?
Right. And, you've laid it out. That's what the Republicans will do. The next step after that will be that we will see the Leandro plaintiffs will come back and they will say this is still probably not good enough because it still limits access too much. There is still that, tens of millions of dollars have been cut from these programs. It seems a little bit ridiculous to think that there will still be the same amount of access for at-risk children. That case will probably, the hearings will come back, and then Judge Manning will decide again.
And when we say at-risk, who are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about a large group, and it's an amorphous group depending on what part of the state you're in. There's no real hard and fast, well, this student qualifies and that one doesn't. It has to do with students who might have financial hardship, children of active duty military, disabled children, or children for whom English is a second language.
All right. So we'll look at that story. We'll wait for the follow-up and see what kind of fallout there is from Judge Manning's decision. Meanwhile, more education news, an important story making the headlines around the nation right here in Wake County. School board elections attracting a lot of attention and endorsements.
Yeah, the Wake County School Board has attracted attention now for several years, obviously based on the student assignment issues that have been going on there. And now we have another election coming up this fall, and people are now stating that they're going to be running or not running. And we don't have that sort of hinging on a big shift possible. There's really only one race that could decide sort of what happens. There's a Republican, Ron Margiotta, who's chair of the school board. He's running again, and he's running against a Democratic challenger. And all of the other folks who are running are supportive of the old student assignment policy that used diversity. So Democrats or people who support diversity would have to win all of the seats to turn the board back over. And then it might be a second level of chaos as they try to undo what's been done for the last 2 years. So because of the student assignment policy and how many people really closely watched that, and Wake County used socioeconomic diversity to assign students, and that was it was the largest school district in the country to do that. People watched it. And they're going to continue to watch it because they're undoing that policy now. And as these board races come up and as people decide, what direction they want Wake County to go, that will either implore other folks to go in other parts of the country, or we'll give them a little bit of pause and maybe we shouldn't go down this road.
As you say, most of those up for re-election are supporters, so the referendum would be if they keep their jobs, maybe there's a swing back in favor of the old policy,
right.
And if they lose their jobs, it's validation of the last election.
Right, and they've redistricted some of the districts. They didn't do as much redistricting as they have in some of the other maps that we've seen here in the state. They did a little bit, but they did them in such a way that there are certain neighborhoods and they know the demographics very well of these neighborhoods for many years. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays into some of these elections. Some of the folks who were supporters are not running again. And so they've got supporters and people who are supporting the so-called community schools initiative. They're running. So every year we say it's a referendum on these policies, and this year is another situation like that.
Let's leave the state for just a minute about an issue that may be very important in this state and may come back to be part of the policy discussion here, a testing scandal in Atlanta.
Yeah, this is an amazing story, and it's really shaking sort of the education policymakers and reporters like me to our foundation, because this is widespread a testing scandal, cheating scandal. Simply teachers, principals erased wrong answers that students had put down and put in correct answers. And then the investigation was covered up for many years. And then now they did a full-on investigation. And the scandal is widespread. And Atlanta was one of these districts that many reformers pointed to and said, look, it can be done. Here's a tough urban district that has really turned things around. It turns out they didn't turn things around educationally. Many people who have fought the testing movement for years say this is a validation of, if you put high-stakes testing into these situations, you are not helping kids, but what you're doing is you're incentivizing teachers and principals to game the system so that they can get foundation money, they can get federal money, they can get, whether teachers or salaries are tied to these things now, they can get that. This is the thing they think that could be happening elsewhere. And what people are trying to figure out is that the case? We've seen urban districts here in this state that have shown turnarounds, not remarkable turnarounds like Atlanta, but now you can bet there's some investigations going on into those.
Dave, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Dave DeWitt, WUNC's education reporter and Capital Bureau chief. You can hear his stories on WUNC.org. You're listening to the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Coming up, best-selling author John Hart on his new thriller set in the mountains of North Carolina. Stay with us.